Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing? Happy Easter. It's Catherine in for Ray. Hope you're well and looking forward to a weekend full of chocolate and dinners and wine and movies and walks, more walks. Pretty much what we've been doing every weekend. Except the only difference is we'll be having lamb on Sunday. But if you have anything else planned to entertain yourselves, you can let me know and inspire me. 51551 for your texts or ray@rte.ie for your emails. And you know what? Easter is a big deal for families usually getting together, none of which can obviously happen this year. But it's a big weekend. And do you know what I've noticed? And maybe this has been the case for years and I just haven't copped on. But the amount of people who decorate their houses for Easter in, say, the same way that we might decorate for Christmas. I did not know this was a thing. Like full on ornaments and trinkets and rabbits and eggs and table settings and napkins and the wreaths on the door I've seen. But where I live in Dublin 8, we do, if it's a day like today now, I'd walk Ellie up to her childminder. And again, beautiful gardens of trees with hand-painted eggs hanging on them. There's one particular garden that we have to stop at and it has rabbits in the grass and eggs hidden and butterflies and fairies and all sorts of bits and pieces. So I don't know, has this been a thing for the last number of years or possibly is it we've all gotten so into arts and crafts this year or maybe we're all so bored looking at the same four walls that we just anything we can do to make our houses or our gardens look and feel a bit special. Let me know, are you full on Easter decorated and ready to go? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And I hope to rectify my lack of Easter decorations a little later. I'm going to be talking to the queen of make and do herself, Mary Fitzgerald, who will be showing us, amongst other things, how to make an Easter wreath. So there you go. And I can't wait to catch up with Mary because, in fact, I credit her for starting my entire television career. I still remember the first thing I ever made. Well, I don't know if it was the first thing I ever made, but certainly it was the first thing I remember making was a cardboard television. You know, the way you had the cardboard box and she had cut out the circle at the bottom of it. You'd stick your head in and you would have stuck your buttons on with the Pritt stick and drawn on your channels. So there you go. That's how it all started. All thanks to Mary Fitzgerald. And we'll be chatting to her a little bit later on. It's a gorgeous day here in Dublin. I hope it's lovely where you are. There'll be lots of people off today, lots of people walking their dogs. And this article in the Journal caught my eye today. And it is about exactly that. Dogs running free in parks. It is written by Dublin resident Ken Cowley. And basically, he's pleading with dog owners to keep their dogs on a lead because he says himself and his family are sick of dodging other people's dogs while they're out for a walk and that some of our parks are becoming no-go areas for anyone who may be nervous about dogs, both adults and children. And when you think about it, we are all confined and staying within our 5K. So the parks have become a lot more crowded. And I'd love to know how you feel about this. Are you someone who's afraid of dogs? Do you find it intimidating when you're out walking? Or are you a dog owner who lets the dogs run free and say, feck it, you know what? My dog is well behaved. They're trained. They're not a threat. Interesting, because there was a really mixed reaction on our Zoom call this morning about it. Half the team sick of dogs running up to them. And then, you know, the other half, me included. And I have to say, I do have two dogs. I do let them off the lead. But I would be particularly careful on a day like today because, well, mostly because there's people sitting in the grass eating picnics and the mortification of having to reef one of them out of somebody's sandwich. That's one. But also, there's a lot more children around, so I would be more conscious when there's children involved as well. But let me know your thoughts on that. 51551 or ray@rte.ie, because we know there's a lot more dog owners now, and it is, you know, it's becoming quite a thing. Line of Duty fans, very excited to see the trailer for this Sunday's upcoming episode. And just to remind you, not that you're going to need reminding if you're a Line of Duty fan, that Adrian Dunbar is going to be on The Late Late tonight with Ryan. So I'm looking forward to that chat. Not only are people obsessed with this show, but part of the crack, of course, is listening to the now infamous Tedisms that Dunbar delivers so well, I have to say, from time to time. Last Sunday, we got to hear the phrase 10 stone ringing wet, which I hadn't heard. I loved that one. Then there was also this one.
Well, back to the cold-faced Aperia, unless you've got some more egg-sucking tips for your granny.
Or this one.
You didn't float up the Lagan on a bubble.
I didn't float up the Lagan on a bubble. Love that. So could you give Ted a run for his money? What are your favourite sayings or maybe good ones that you heard growing up? Let's call a spade a spade. That's one that somebody has pulled me up on time and time again. I say it when I'm trying to qualify something. And it just, I mean, it's almost become part of my vocabulary now. Keep her lit. That's another one I like. Love that one. Porrick's mother actually had a great saying, which I loved. And I loved the way that she delivered it as well. When you go to confession, make sure you tell the priest all of your sins, but none of your business. Love that. So get them into us, your favourite Irish phrases or sayings, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Chris O'Dowd is having woeful hair problems, lads. He tweeted today going, is it possible to go grey in a week? And then he answered his own question. Seems like it is. So he's gone grey. It's taken him by surprise. It's happened in a relatively short space of time. And you know what? I'd imagine a lot of people have had that experience this year. A lot of people going grey for many reasons, namely stress. Secondly, obviously, the hairdresser's not being open. So when you wouldn't have normally had to deal with it or even notice that you'd have your appointment booked in, that's not possible now. So how have you dealt with the pesky greys coming through? Do you remember the first time you saw the silver glint? I actually was sitting in the hairdresser's. I had not noticed that I had the few grey hairs. And it was only Norma Jean, my hairdresser, said, I'm just going to put a bit lighter in the front just to hide the greys. I went, excuse me, sorry, what? What? You know, under the fluorescent lights, then you could see it. But let me know. Maybe you had a full shock of white hair in your 20s. I do think for women, there is very much like there's societal pressure to avoid going grey. And then you look at some beautiful women like, you know, who've totally embraced the silver look. I was looking on Instagram this morning, Diane Keaton. Then there's, of course, our own Olivia Tracy. So I'd love to hear from you. What's your feeling on going grey? Or if COVID has made you say, you know what? To hell with the dye. I'm throwing away the dye. I'm embracing the grey. I look and feel fabulous on it. Let me know. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Or maybe you're just waiting to beat the door of the hairdressers down as soon as they open. All right, let's get a little bit of music. This is Faith from the soundtrack of the animated movie Sing. We watched it in our house at the weekend. Definitely one I recommend for smallies and biggies this Easter weekend. And this is a great tune. This is Stevie Wonder and Ariana Grande.
See the girl with the diamonds in her shoes. She walks around like she's got nothing to lose. Just see the go-getter. She's everybody's type. She's a queen of the city, but she don't believe the hype. She's got her own elevation, holy motivation. So I wrote some letters on big bold type.
I got faith in you, baby. I got faith.
Making my mission, make her feel alright. He's a 12 on a 10 point, rocking out to his joint. Just
That is Stevie Wonder and Ariana Grande. Loads of people doing nice things for the weekend. I'll be surfing all weekend in Sligo and munching Easter eggs for energy, says Steve. Chocolate walk, more chocolate, another walk. That'll do me, says Norma. I'm a dog owner and really appreciate it when a person lets me know that they are nervous of dogs. I have no problem making sure my dogs do not upset others and will put them on the lead straight away. I've met a few people who've asked politely and then some not so nice people who get quite aggressive about it, says one texter. Catherine, I'm not afraid of dogs, but pet owners should keep their dogs on a lead. It's not fair to a large number of people who don't like dogs. It's so selfish of dog owners, says another person, not to have their dogs on a lead. So mixed opinions there. Then we were talking about people's favourite phrases. My mother's line was, what's yours is mine, but what's mine is my own. That's a good one. Paul in Wexford. My mother used to say, don't come running to me when you fall out of that tree and break your legs. Oh yeah, that's a real Irish mammy phrase, isn't it? Breed in Cork. He has enough neck for two giraffes. That is a good one. I like that one. A little cheek is worth a bucketful of good manners. That's a good one too. Keep them coming in, guys. 51551. Loads more there. But you know what? I'm going to tell you about our quiz today, because I've been listening to it all week. And it's, of course, a great prize. The prize comes from our friends at the Castleknock Hotel. And in 2021, let's embrace the missed moments, lads. That is the message. And the Castleknock Hotel are giving one lucky listener the chance to win a two-night break with dinner on one evening. So you can pack your bags and escape to the four-star Castleknock Hotel, and you can choose from two dedicated packages designed for celebrating all those birthdays and anniversaries and date nights that have gone by in 2020. So you get balloons and bubbles and cake and two nights away from the kids, lads. Isn't that what it's all about? So you can celebrate together. So how do you enter? Well, you answer this question. Today is the Friday before Easter, but what is it traditionally called? What is today traditionally called? So to enter, phone 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And we'll get two of you up on the line a little bit later on. So that'll be a bit of crack. Micken Athlone says, never let it be said your mother reared a gibber. And Martin, an Irish marriage proposal. Would you like to be buried with my people? There you are. All right, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Let's take a quick break. Now, there is much relief as people get their second dose of the vaccine, and Mary O'Rourke got hers yesterday. She's on the line now. Mary, how are you?
How are you, Catherine? Lovely to talk with you.
Lovely to talk with you too. So how are you feeling?
Great. Nothing wrong. I felt a bit of an ache in my left arm, but it's gone.
Okay.
No, fine. Yeah. Thank goodness it's all over and I've had my two vaccines.
So it being April Fool's Day as well, when you got the call up, when you got the phone call.
I said, oh, this is a big fat joke. But it wasn't. It was for real. And there were quite a few there of my age group getting it yesterday. Mm. And it was very swift and well done and executed and away we went. Mm. But honestly, I'm so happy to have it over me.
I know. And really, what, you know, in 2 weeks' time, it will have fully taken effect for you. So what does that mean for you? I mean, how is that going to change?
Well, what is going to change is, first of all, I'll meet my children, my grandchildren. I've two sons, one in Dublin and one in Athlone, and the one in Athlone has four children. Mm. And I haven't seen any of them since the big lockdown. They sometimes come in with Angus, that's my son. He brings me in some food and newspapers and things like that. And they would stay out in the garden and wave in at me. Mm. But I'm so longing to have a big hug, a good tight hug from them. And that's what I'm looking forward to, mostly.
Yeah.
And then able to go out in my car. And now I think they're lifting it from 5 kilometres. Doesn't matter. I bet Hudson Bay fits into the 5 kilometres. So I'll drive out there in my car. I won't interact with anybody. Mm. I'll sit in the car with my book and a newspaper and look out at the lovely lake water and the ducks and children playing and all that kind of thing. And that would be fabulous.
Mm.
That's where I was brought up, in the Hudson Bay. And then I'd come back in home and I'd be so different. So gradually, I hope, Catherine, it's going to open up, you know.
Mm. And I mean, for you, I know, and I've been, you know, keeping up and reading bits and pieces that you've done. I know the rugby on the TV has kept you sane, keeping up with politics, the radio, all sorts of bits and pieces. When things open up altogether, Mary, what are you looking forward to?
Well, when things open up altogether, I'm looking forward to meeting my two sons and daughters-in-law, and maybe when they really, really open up, that we can have an outdoor meal somewhere, because I think that's on the cards in June, May, June.
What about getting the hair done?
Oh, the hair. Oh, if you saw my photograph in the paper today, my hair is a show. It's the length of it. You know, I never had long hair. I'd love to get a scissors, but I'd be terrified I'd do wrong. No, hairdressers are my number one go-to.
I don't know
when they're opening up. I think it's in May.
Yes. Yeah. And the other thing, just when I was reading the piece in the Indo, your article today, one of the funny things that came up was people's ages. With this vaccine, people's ages are being revealed. So there was a lot of people...
I think that's terribly funny, because sometimes maybe they want to, quite rightly, a lot of people, particularly women, don't go around saying, I'm this age and I'm this age. I always knew everyone in Athlone would know my age. But suddenly, you know people's age if they're doing from 80 to 85 and you hear such and such a person has had the vaccine. So you know roughly what age they are. So that's a kind of a great revelation.
Well, you know
like.
What? It reminded me, my Nana, God rest her, she's passed away, but she got into awful trouble. She used to always lie about her age, right? Because she never liked admitting the age that she was.
And it came
to some sort of insurance problem. She had to produce two documents and she'd actually altered her birth. So her birth cert and her passport didn't match.
I know. Well, she had her come up and said, she, yes.
Honest to God. Come here, what are you doing for Easter? Do you have a visitor penciled in or is your son able to...
Oh, no, you can't have a visitor. Oh, you can't. So you're not allowed to have them.
But anyone dropping you in anything?
Oh, yes, my son will be. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, he will. Oh, he's just so good. Everyone should have sons. Now, I know you've a lovely little daughter.
Mm.
How is she?
She is great, Mary, to be honest. And we feel very lucky that
she's... How old is she now?
She was 3 last week. So she had her second lockdown birthday last week.
Was she 3?
She was 3, yeah. I mean, it's and where the year has gone, you know, like so many people.
I know, I saw her on the TV with you.
Yes.
Last summer. And that was a lovely series.
Yeah.
An absolutely lovely one.
Do you know, we were very blessed to get out and about when we did.
And to have the programme done.
Yes. Yeah.
But you've all sorts of other programmes. From time to time, I might tune into your programme when you're people losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know that one.
Yes, and Operation Transformation.
There's one or two of them you'd really feel they had done so good. And then when the week would come and they had lost nothing, their faces, oh my God.
No. Yeah. And I think this year particularly there was a lot of people who could resonate with that, you know, we're all trying to put more of a focus on our health.
Can I ask you,
Mary, speaking of that, now that you're vaccinated, can you meet another vaccinated person in your home?
Well, you see, I don't particularly want to meet another vaccinated person. Hello, Eileen, how are you? How is your vaccine? Fine. And Mary, how is your vaccine? So, I mean, you want to meet people you know and love and can converse with. I don't think there's any great kudos out of meeting another 83-year-old who was doubly vaccinated, except I know her very well. Do you know what I mean?
I know. You want your own around you as soon as possible.
Oh, yes. And I have a couple of good men friends that I converse a lot with on telephone, and we read books together and all that sort of thing. So it's those kind of people I'd love to meet, and my family, of course. No, I don't see any big kudos in meeting somebody who has been through, only I'm so glad that they've had it satisfactorily, but I wouldn't have anything in common, perhaps, apart from the fact that we both got the two jabs.
Yeah. Well, look, it's great that you have, and great to hear you, as always, in good form. And
well,
that
it's lovely to talk with you. I was delighted when Niamh, who was on this morning to me, one of your researchers, said it would be you, and I said, oh, that's lovely, because I don't know, I admire you a lot, and then you got married, and then you had the lovely baby girl, so it's all working out for you, isn't it?
It is, and I'm very lucky, and I'm very grateful. Come here, I don't know if you were listening to me before you came on the phone. We were talking about Irish phrases and Irish sayings, and there's people have been texting in here. Louise has said her mother used to say, if you fell in love with a dung heap, you wouldn't see a dirty straw in it. Another one from Trish. God writes in crooked lines. I haven't heard that one either.
No, I haven't either. No.
And another one, Graham, help yourself. God helps those who help themselves, and God help anyone I catch helping themselves. That's
yes,
a good one.
I have heard that one before. Tell me, are you planning, if things come right, are you planning a summer tour again, maybe?
Please God, yeah. It looks like if we can get up and running, that the show will be coming back again. Nothing definite yet, but yeah. Listen, I think there was a great reaction to it last year, because you know people want, we're all staycationing, so it was great to see Ireland in all its glory.
It is indeed, and particularly you were doing it in such a practical fashion. You know, everybody could sort of have an affinity with that, and there was your lovely daughter and you touring Ireland.
Would you do a camper van holiday yourself, Mary?
No, I wouldn't. I like a bit of comfort now. I am the age I am, and I don't think I would suit. I don't think a camper van would suit me, and I don't think I'd suit it. But I did in my day, we did, and caravans, and the boys, when they were young, we were great for a caravan in Connemara, and we loved that. There's a great freedom
outdoor. Great holiday. Well, listen, happy Easter to you. You look after yourself.
Same to you, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely, Mary. God bless. Mind yourself. Bye-bye. That's Mary O'Rourke there. And just a reminder, we're going to be doing our quiz again after 4 o'clock. And the number that you need to call is 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. And to qualify, you just have to answer, what is today traditionally called? All right, let's take another quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, this day week is 65 Roses Day, and it's a special day for people living with cystic fibrosis in Ireland, and a chance for the public to get involved in the annual fundraising effort. Sadly, like so many fundraisers throughout the last year, normal collections can't take place because of COVID, but you can donate online, 65rosesday.ie. And today I'm going to chat to two people living with CF to chat about the year that they've had. On the line is Bevan Murphy, who is in Lucan in Dublin, and Evan Scully in Navan in County Meath. Bevan and Evan, how you doing?
Has a nice ring to it, doesn't
just
it?
To keep me on my toes. lovely to chat to you guys, and thanks for coming on. Bevan, I'll start with you, and just to find out a little bit about you. You are a second year medicine student studying to be a doctor. How's all that going?
Yeah, it's going well. I'm really enjoying it. It's obviously hard work, and exams coming up now in 2 weeks. But I suppose it's keeping me busy during these times, which I'm really thankful for.
And are you doing a lot of remote learning and then on site as well, or how's that?
There's a bit of both. So I'm in the Royal College of Surgeons, and they've been amazing since the pandemic. We actually have our lectures in Crow Park.
Okay.
They rent a space in Crow Park to, like, you know, adhere to the social distancing. So we have kind of best of both worlds. We can get to go in and still kind of have our, like, live learning, and then also lectures online. So really privileged to have that.
Okay, good. And second year in medicine, any particular area piquing your interest at the moment?
Oh, there's so many. I think everyone asks me this question. I never even know what to answer, because there's just so many areas. But I really don't know at the moment, but I'm sure, like, if you get back to me, if you ask me this question in 2 years' time, I hope I have my answer for you then.
You've got to explore all avenues, as they say.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Evan, you're a physical therapist. You're also a running coach. So how's business been for you?
It's actually been pretty good because, let's say, during the bad or during the good weather, everybody decides to go out and try get fit again. So that inevitably leads to injuries. So I'm pretty busy.
Mm.
And then everybody wants to start training again. So
yeah.
they're looking for plans as well. So.
Okay. And yeah, because I was going to say in winter, normally, you know, sort of that October, November time, people cut back on it. But this year they didn't. So you would have probably had more people running and more people into you than you would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Bevan, because you're the doctor in training, so can you give us the lowdown? What exactly, we know cystic fibrosis, but and we've heard of it, and what I thought was lovely, actually, was the fact that it's 65 roses. That phrase was coined by children who couldn't say cystic fibrosis, and it stuck,
clever.
Which I just thought was lovely. But give us exactly what cystic fibrosis is.
So cystic fibrosis is a genetic condition, so it primarily affects the lungs, but affects like many other organs. It basically affects your whole body, but the main issue would be the lungs. So it's basically like a build-up of mucus, and it decreases your lung function. And obviously, like, your lung function is a massive thing for everyone. Everyone needs a good lung function to live, to breathe, to you know, get up in the morning. But people with cystic fibrosis, a lot of time your lung function decreases.
Okay.
So yeah, it's mainly a lung condition, but there's a lot of other, like, a lot of people have like cystic fibrosis related diabetes, liver disease, kidney disease. So it's like starts off in the lungs, and then everything else kind of follows through after, if you get me, the other organs.
Okay. And so how did it affect your life growing up? Like, when were you diagnosed, and how does it affect you now on a day to day basis?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed when I was 6 months old, so I don't know a life without it. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't define me, but it is part of me. Like, it'll always be like a massive part of my life. It's a very time-consuming illness. It always has been. I do so much treatment. So I would spend, I did spend about 4 hours a day doing treatment, between physiotherapy, nebulized treatments, every day. You do the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. You know, before you went to school, before you went to college, you always had to get up earlier than everyone else. You know, stay up later to see your treatment. So it's a very time-consuming illness. It hasn't, you know, stopped me doing everything I wanted to do in life. I might have had to do it a bit later. Like, I still went, you know, after my Leaving Cert, probably my Leaving Cert year was the year I was probably at my sickest. I missed a lot of school. I was in hospital like 13 times that year.
13 times?
13 times the year my Leaving Cert, yeah. And it was actually at that point, like, I did want to study medicine, and I was like, I want to be a doctor, but I just physically wasn't able for it. Like, I was too unwell. Like, I couldn't last week in school when I ended up in hospital, so there was no way I was going to be able to do medicine. So I suppose I went back then, 2019, at the age of 25 to do it. So,
okay.
But it hasn't stopped me. It's a longer road to get places, if you get me. But I started a new treatment in November, which has literally completely and utterly transformed my life in the space of what months been. I think it's like, what, 5 months. It's given me a completely new lease of life, and that's why I said I used to spend 4 hours doing treatment. I just spend nowhere near that anymore.
Okay. And is this Kaftrio?
Kaftrio, yeah.
Kaftrio. This is this new CF wonder drug.
Yeah, it's literally a miracle drug.
It's changed your life in 5 months.
5 months. Like, wow. I've never been healthier. Like, it's increased my lung function exponentially. My lung function baseline when I was really well would be, say, like, in between 40-50%, and it's now up at 76%. And, like, that mightn't seem like a huge jump to someone who doesn't know what CF is, and everyone will probably relate to this, but for, like, CF, that is absolutely, like, it's outrageous. Like, it's numbers you never thought you'd see before.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Evan, so are you on this new drug as well?
Yeah, I started about 6 weeks ago, and it's nearly, it's an instant feeling that you get. I'd say maybe 2 hours after my first dose. I actually went on a walk with my dog, and thank God I went in a quiet area, because during now, sure, if you cough or sniffle, everybody looks at you.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bevan knows what this feels like, but I finished a run once and people start shouting COVID at me.
Really?
So, yeah. So I went on a walk in a quiet area, and there's a thing called a mucus. What's the word for it? Bevan might know it. Purge, a mucus purge. So I start coughing mucus up everywhere, and that never happens to me. Like, it doesn't happen. Even if I tried to get mucus up, it doesn't happen. And 2 hours after taking this drug, I didn't know where it was coming from. It was like an exorcist.
It must have felt like having new lungs once you'd gotten up and had that increased lung function.
Yeah, like, I couldn't believe it. When Bevan was talking about time consumption with treatments and stuff, like, sometimes you're on a nebulizer for 20 to 30 minutes, because that's how long it takes, and that's maybe twice a day, plus everything else that you have to do. So this is, like, it's groundbreaking.
And great reassurance. I'm just thinking of parents now with children newly diagnosed, because there is per capita in Ireland. I mean, comparatively, it's quite high, the levels of cystic fibrosis in Ireland. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, we have the highest life expectancy and one of the lowest life expectancies and the highest capita rate in the world.
I mean, so in terms of this new drug, it just must be music to any parent who's out there listening today who's just got a recent diagnosis. It's pretty phenomenal. Can I ask you, Evan, growing up, did you have a hard time accepting it? Like, you were obviously diagnosed very young as well. How did you deal with it?
Yeah, I was diagnosed at 5 months. I suppose growing up, when you get into your teenage years, you start to question everything. You start to question why do I have this? How come I'm the only one in my family who has it? But those days are rare. I didn't really dwell on it. But I did think about it. I used to hide everything from all my friends. I'm not even sure if my friends knew or not. Like, having to eat every time I'd take digestive enzymes. And I didn't even want... my cousin seen me take it. It was like a ninja, like throwing the little tablets down every time I ate. But it got to the stage where I felt like everything out there was doom and gloom. All the stories you were hearing was doom and gloom. So I suppose I wasn't a doom and gloom story. So I wanted to show that, like, parents whose child has CF, that it's not all doom and gloom. And not to Google what CF is, because it's not good. So I actually don't care who knows now.
Okay. And you guys, I mean, in your 20s now, and am I right in saying you have not met before? You know each other through social media, because two people with cystic fibrosis can't meet face to face because it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The COVID thing again, isn't it? It's cross-infection. We can't come in contact with each other, and that's why there's a huge push for isolation rooms with CF as well, because we shouldn't be in contact with anybody else with CF, but whoever else might have a chest infection.
Okay,
that's the importance of isolation wards and rooms in hospitals.
So, Bevan, coming back to you then, like, in terms of spending all that time in hospital and to a large degree having limitations in terms of who you meet and when you meet and how you meet, and obviously winter time and flu season has been difficult and a worrying time for you throughout your life. So in a way, you could say that it's prepared you better for COVID, the situation that we're all in now, when we are having to self-isolate and keep away from people.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I know the first national lockdown last March, I think it was about the 14th of March, I actually started isolating myself about a week before that. I was like the COVID police. Like, I was following the COVID all over the country. And as soon as I came to Ireland, I was like, that's it. Now I'm bringing down the hatches and staying at home. But yeah, like, for the first while, the lockdown just didn't bother me. I'm very used to spending time by myself and being in hospital. And, like, I'm lucky that I actually love my own company. So I was very used to it, and, you know, other people, I'd be talking to my friends and my peers, and they were really struggling straight away. It was like, how, like, no social interaction. Like, what do you do with your day? But I was so used to spending, like, 2-3 weeks at a time in hospital frequently and having four walls to entertain myself. So, yeah, like, you kind of, I came accustomed to lockdown life really quickly.
And so when COVID happened last March, and as you said, you were following it, and was there a huge sense of anxiety and worry for you? And that question is for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. At the start, I was absolutely petrified. Like, I didn't leave my house. Like, my brother, he used to do the grocery shopping. Anything he dropped, wiped everything down. I was terrified to come in contact with absolutely anybody. I was terrified. Obviously, as I think a lot of people were, though, because it was so new. No one knew much about the virus.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, as time went on, you kind of became a little bit more relaxed, but still very cautious.
And, Evan, what about you?
Yes and no. So at the start, I remember there was just before everyone went the whole national lockdown. I went on a run, and I was thinking to myself, this might be the last time I get to run outdoors because I don't know what's going to happen. And so I actually had to get a loan of a treadmill just in case. And thankfully, it didn't come to that. But up until, I'd say, somewhere in around August, we were still sterilising absolutely everything that came into the house, grocery-wise. My wife did the shopping, Yasmina, she did the shopping up until... Well, actually, she still does it. we were sanitising absolutely everything that came into the house.
And so running, I know you're big into the running, and that's been a lifesaver for you. You are, when I say big into the running, I mean you're the European record holder for running a marathon with CF. You've done marathons. I mean, it's the one thing that has sort of helped you, would you say, and sort of kept you sane and kept you being able to manage your CF.
I'll have to correct you there as well. So it's not an official European record because I did it around. I did it in my 5K radius.
Okay. Not official. Unofficial.
Unofficial, yeah. But I'm the official world record holder from the 5,000 up to the half marathon.
Good man.
So, yeah, if I didn't run, like, before Caftrio, I'd say I'd get to about day four by not running. And then, it would feel like I'd have a full-blown cold. There would be mucus everywhere. So, yeah, if I didn't run, like, I haven't been in hospital ever. So, running, I think, it's the only thing that I can put it down to. I don't really take time off from running.
And is that a kind of medically recognised? Because I know, Bevan, you run as well in terms of managing CF and keep it, you know, it is, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
It used to be.
It used to be, but it is now.
It's coming. They're coming to terms with how good it actually is.
For people with CF. It's amazing. And listen, you are both doing bits and pieces for 65 Roses Day. What are you doing, Bevan, in terms of fundraising?
Yeah, myself and my friends are doing 65 minutes of movement every day for the month of April. So I'm planning to run every day. So I started yesterday. So I did my first 65-minute run yesterday, and I'll do my second one today. So yeah, my aim is to run every day for 65 minutes. And again, it's thanks to Castro, the drug, that's given me the ability to actually run straight for 65 minutes. I've never been able to do that before.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And Evan, what about yourself?
So I'd run every day anyway, but I think for Friday, which is the 65 Roses Day, I was trying to come up with something that is totally obscure, but it's not really relatable if I do it, so and I'm not fit enough to do it at the moment. So I think by people just going out and doing something like a 6.5k run or a 6.5 mile run, and then hopefully donate to Cystic Fibrosis Ireland as well. It's just something to get out the door. It could be a 6.5 minute run or walk.
Yeah, just as little or as much as you want. That's what it's all about. Well, for people who want to donate online and get involved, it's the number 65rosesday.ie, and you can find out all about the challenges there. Guys, I'm delighted to chat to you. I'm delighted that the recent medical breakthrough with the new drug that you're on has seen such incredible Has had such an incredible impact for both of you. So long may that last, and good news for lots of parents and children around the country today as well. So listen, happy Easter and lovely chatting to you.
Thanks,
bye,
Catherine.
Bye. Thanks a million. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Your Irish phrases and sayings are giving us a right laugh here. Breda says, he has enough chat for a second row of teeth. That was her late mother's expression. Did you ever hear this one? Says Vincent in Limerick, that man is so cute you'd have to get up before you go to bed to get the best out of him. Fred from Louth, shake the hand that shook the world. I love that. So you can keep them coming in, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now this Sunday we will be cooking up a storm in the kitchen. Loads of us will be sitting down to tuck it into a big roast lamb, and we have got Chef Adrian Martin on the line with some tips and tricks. Trinks. That was kind of tips and drinks in my head.
Tips and drinks, yeah.
Tips and drinks to get us through the Easter Sunday feast. How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm grand. Not a bother. You're keeping well. What have you been up to?
I suppose I've been sitting in and relaxing until things get back to normal, you know?
But you were telling me you had some exciting news the last couple of weeks that you can get back to London.
Yeah, I suppose we're reopening on the 18th of May. So I opened Wildflower in Camden Market in London back just before the pandemic hit on the 7th of March.
Good timing.
Yeah, everybody says that. Yeah, so look, we were unfortunate, but I suppose lucky in the other sense that it's given me a chance to, you know, reflect and being able to, you know, improve everything regards food and menu. And you know, we've got great staff. We've had staff that have been with us from the start, and they've all been on furlough and they're dying to get back as well. So I'm really excited.
London, you're allowed open on the 18th of May. Is that the date?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like that's a great relief for you, for your staff, as you say, that you need, like you have something to work towards now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was such a relief. Like we got the news in February and it's given me something to kind of plan and work towards. It takes an awful lot of work to reopen and an awful lot of funding to reopen a restaurant, especially we've been closed now four times. So this is our fourth time lucky, basically.
Wow.
So yeah, open and shut, like it's quite a costly exercise. And I just feel it for restaurants in Ireland at the moment. Like there's no roadmap out of it for them. There's no like date set in stone that they can work towards. It gives you such a relief when you get that date. So I'm hoping that they do something for restaurants in Ireland really soon.
And we were talking a bit about vaccines earlier in the show. So have you have you got a date for your vaccine, or will you get your vaccine over there? How does that work?
Well, I suppose all my staff have their vaccines got. Well, they have.
Okay, they've been done.
One dose got. Yeah, they've been done already, which is great. And it just gives that peace of mind to everyone. I don't have a date as such yet, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to get something before I go back over.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. But look, fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. If I'm offered one in the UK, I suppose I could hop on a flight over to it, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been quite tough the last year. Like any time I've flown over to manage the business, I've had to come back and quarantine for 2 weeks before I can even go back again. So it's been quite a difficult exercise.
Wow.
But yeah,
it's really kind of a big change, isn't it? And in terms of trying to adapt in how you do business, not only having overseas travel, but as you say, quarantining when you get back. And your parents haven't been open to your new restaurant yet.
I know. I can't wait. That's the one thing. It's my two brothers have eaten in it.
Okay.
So my other brother, Shawnee, he lives in London. So he's been in three or four times. He enjoys it. He loves it. Like any chance he gets to get free food, he's on top of it, basically.
Well, sure, listen, bit like myself.
My parents have been like a massive support with it. Like before we opened it, my mom and dad were flying over every week to help me out picking, you know, decorating the place and getting extra little bits and bobs to do the place up. So I at least owe them a meal. And it's just a shame that they haven't been able to get over yet to eat. So that's my one wish, is to get them over there.
Get them over and give them a big slap up meal and give them a good night out. Well, sure, look, it's coming. It'll be a while yet, but it is coming. So listen, after all this talk about food, let's give our listeners some ideas and inspiration for Easter Sunday dinner. You've come up with loads of options. And for anybody listening, actually, we're going to have all of the recipes. We'll put them up on our website if they're not already there. So give us the starter. If I stop at the supermarket tonight now, Adrian. What am I going to pick up and what am I going to do on Sunday?
Okay, so for starter, we're doing quite a light dish. I want something, because I normally find I'm really, really stuffed after the main course and I'm not fit for anything else. So we're going to do a boli goat cheese dish. So boli goat cheese is normally served in like a little brine. You find it in the supermarket. Small little balls of goat cheese. And what we do is we pané them. So basically we flour, egg wash and breadcrumb them. So in the breadcrumbs, I normally put in a little bit of sesame seeds and it gives that lovely little speck on the outside of it when you deep fry them.
Lovely.
So basically you're thinking about goat cheese is quite bitter. And when you deep fry it with the crust on the outside, they go lovely and soft and oozy in the inside then when they're cooked. To serve with that, then apple. So apple is amazing. You've got bitterness. You've got a Granny Smith apple can be quite sweet. So little slices of apple. Mm-hmm. I normally do an organic salad, so we use a little bit of Irish honey, and we have a little bit of balsamic vinegar and good quality oil. So Irish rapeseed oil or quality olive oil as well. Very, very simple little dish.
Gorgeous.
And it's light and it's delicious. And it's just the acidity, if you can get the balance of the acidity right. So if you have a nice sweet dressing with the salad, the bitterness of the goat cheese and then the apple. Also, what's really nice with it is toasted hazelnuts. So just a little sprinkle of toasted hazelnuts over top.
Oh,
really
nice. Toasted hazelnuts with everything. I just love toasted hazelnuts.
Same. And you can have those panade. So you can have them breadcrumbed and done, wrapped in the fridge the night before. And then all you have to do is deep fry them. They literally take about 2 to 3 minutes to deep fry it and serve them straight away.
Okay. And again, yeah, just a small enough pot with a lot of oil and just deep fry them that way if you don't have...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If that works. But you can also bake them as well. You know, absolutely. There's no issue in baking them as well.
Okay. Starter sorted. Where are we going next?
Let's do the main event.
The main event.
Okay.
Can I tell you where I go wrong with the roast lamb?
Okay, go for it.
So I love a roast lamb, right? And I don't like it too rare. I like it pink. But my problem is I keep taking it in and out of the oven, and I know I should just let it sit and kind of weigh it and do the timings. But I find that I'm constantly cutting into it to see where I am, or sticking a skewer into it to see where I am. So it's just about, I suppose, being a little bit more confident, is it?
Well, I tell you what, the best investment for you is a thermometer.
Okay.
So what you do is go on to literally a digital thermometer, literally stick it straight into the center of your meat. So when you remove your meat, if you're unsure of it, like if you cut the meat at all to have a check, you lose quite a lot of the juices.
Yes, and it kind of dries it out.
It dries it out, yeah. So a little thermometer, pop it out of the oven, put in your thermometer, and if it reads in and around, normally we go 65 degrees. That's nice and pink at 65 degrees.
Okay.
Up, if you want it well done, anything over 85 degrees Celsius, basically, is what you're looking for. My leg of lamb, normally what I do is I stuff it. So what I do is I ask the butcher to basically take the bone out, butterfly it, and then I make a stuffing of like cranberries, pine nuts, breadcrumbs, loads of herbs. So I put in sage and rosemary, onion, garlic, everything in there. Make a really nice stuffing. Stuff the center of it. I roll the lamb. So I do this all the day before. I roll the lamb and I'll tie it. So I'll twine it basically. So you can ask if you want to make your stuffing, go into your butcher. I've done this before where I haven't had time, or I wasn't good enough to twine it at the time when I first started cooking. So I'd go into the butcher and I'd ask them, could you tie it for me and stuff it for me? And they'll do that for you.
So you just bring in the stuffing and they'll do it for you in there. Okay.
They'll do it for you. Yeah, yeah, you will. Look, if you have a good butcher that you can trust and you know.
And I think we've all gotten to know our butchers a bit better over the last couple of months as well. And
So the key to this, cooking of this, is the overnight in the fridge, leave it uncovered on a wire tray.
Right.
So basically any juices that drip off it. It's kind of like you're almost dry aging it. So you're drying out the skin of the lamb on the outside. And then what we do is we remove that from the fridge about half an hour to an hour before we cook. And we season it with sea salt, cracked black pepper, and we seal it all around on the pan firstly. So you lock in all the juices and you lock in all the flavor before that hits the oven. Into the oven, good hot oven. I normally go 190 degrees. I'll cook that for about an hour and a half. But depends on the size of the lamb. That'll be nice and pink for me.
Lovely. Okay.
Yeah.
And then for the vegans, the vegetarians, you have a gorgeous recipe. It's up on our website for a roast harissa cauliflower. Oh, delicious. So yeah, that's so a full head of cauliflower. Lash the harissa all over it. Salt, pepper, and put it in the oven. And you carve that almost like a roast, and you serve it with your spuds and your veg. We have 1 minute left, and I can't, because people, Easter dinner for me is about dessert. So most people I know are too stuffed by the time dinner finishes up, but not me. So what are we suggesting for a nice dessert?
Okay, so I'm suggesting, and I know you're not going to like this, because normally I'm too stuffed and dessert gets left there and it's left until the next day. And I'm suggesting something kind of with your cup of tea afterwards. So we're doing a chocolate hot cross bun.
And a chocolate hot cross bun?
Yeah.
So not sure. I'm not the greatest fan of a hot cross bun in general.
But think of this, okay? So you've got, it's basically what a hot cross bun is we make a dough. So we make a very simple, like, basically bread dough. So it's basically 500 grams of strong flour. We're using the Odlum strong flour. I think you always get a good result out of using an Irish flour. Like, we have 7 gram sachet of yeast, 325 mils of milk. So milk gives you the silkiness of it.
Okay.
And then we have the sugar and the salt. Basically, you mix that in your mixer, your bread mixer. You leave it to prove for an hour.
Lovely.
Knock back the dough.
Yes.
And shape it into 8 little dough balls. So we add white chocolate chips and dark chocolate or milk chocolate chips to it.
Okay, you've convinced me. You've actually convinced me that this could work. Yeah. This could work for me. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off there because we've run out of time.
You're okay, don't worry. But just have a wonderful Easter.
Yeah, you too, hon. And I'm delighted for you that things are looking up and that wishing you the best of luck. I mean, it was, as I said, you deserve this opening to go well for you, and it will. Opening back up, I should say, the reopening.
No, I really appreciate
and
that.
Whenever
Thank
I can
you.
Get over to the UK, I will be booking in. To come and see you. So listen, lovely to catch up with you. Thanks a million.
Cheers,
that is Chef Adrian there. It's 4 o'clock now, just after. So let's get the Nuach Dainisile. Ciarán Ó Fhearthaithe. Gurbh Magad Ciarán. Lots more phrases and sayings coming in. If he had brains, he'd be dangerous. I've heard that one before. Bridget in Mayo says, you've enough cheek for a second ass. Another texter, my father had a great turn of phrase when we would ask him where he was going, and when he didn't want us to come along, he would say, like our Lord, I'm going about my father's business. There you go. Another one, he'd skin a flea for a penny. Lots of good ones coming in there, which have been keeping us entertained. Okay, it is time for our quiz. And yes, let's get some tension going and we get our callers up on the line. We have Mary Barrett from Cork and we have Deirdre Conlon in Naas. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Completely brilliant.
Good. Okay. Well, Mary, I'll start with you because you are player number one. How are you getting on today? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Carrigaline.
Oh, very Cork. Good. From Cork, from the real capital.
Yes.
And it's sunny up here, or certainly it was before I came down to studio. What's going on down in Cork? Have you got blue skies?
Absolutely blue skies. Gorgeous blue skies.
Lovely.
It is fabulous today.
Lovely. And did you get out for a walk or anything yet?
Yeah, we were down in the woods in Corribini, that's on the harbour, and so we had a lovely walk in the woods.
Fab.
Gorgeous.
And who was accompanying you on your walk?
My partner.
Lovely. Lovely.
So you old flame.
you had a nice relaxing walk.
We did indeed. It was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Lovely. And are you all set for Easter? I was saying that I sort of missed decorating the house for Easter. Are you someone, do you decorate the house or do you make a bit of an effort or is it just the Easter dinner, Mary?
It's Easter dinner. I would for Christmas now, but my kids are grown up and gone. So, yeah. No, I wouldn't at Easter.
And was your mouth watering listening to Chef Adrian there? He had a recipe for the lamb that I'm going to give a go. He had cranberries and pine nut stuffing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Crispy. Well, I don't know if I could do the dough or the chocolate hot cross bun after all that, though.
So. No. Do you know what I love as a dessert? And it is so easy. I do lemon posset, right? And it's just three ingredients. It's cream, lemon and sugar. That's it.
Ooh.
It's easy and it's you blow people away by your skill and your culinary genius. And it is honestly, it's the simplest and light dessert as well. So that's something that I like to do.
I do a lemon cheesecake.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. Yeah, no, anything lemony now, I'm a big fan. Yeah. Deirdre Conlon in Naas, how are you today?
Very good now, thank you.
Good, good. How are you getting on in lockdown? How are you doing?
It's grand. Not too much different because my husband moved his business home in 2017. So, look, he was at home anyway and my son's gone to school. So, well, not at the moment, but he is going to school. So.
Okay. Yeah, and what age is your son?
He's six.
Okay.
He's six, yeah.
Right. So have you been homeschooling and homeworking and doing all that over the last number of months?
And he actually missed a week or two of school, so we caught up in the Easter holidays. So he got his work done in the Easter holidays as well as homeschooling for
How did
a
you
while,
find
yeah.
the homeschooling?
Challenging, yeah. to be honest. I think he cried and I cried at times. But
I know.
We got there in the end. The teachers were brilliant now. They had stuff up online every day and it was brilliant now, in fairness to them.
Okay, okay. And your husband is from Kildare, I'm reading here.
Yeah, he's Ray as well. Well, I know we're on the Ray Darcy show, but he's Ray as well, yeah.
Oh, his name is Ray as well, okay. And does he have any phrases, any sort of Irish phrases that he uses?
Well, he has Mind Yourself, which Ray
Mind
Darcy
yourself.
Says.
Yeah.
And if my dad was going to the pub when we were younger, he said, I'm just going to see a man about a dog.
they're brilliant. And you know what? When I've been reading them here, they've been flying in on screen and you've forgotten how many you've heard over the years
that you just don't hear anymore.
You know? All right, ladies, we better get on with it. Best of luck to both of you. Do you want to wish each other luck there?
Yeah, best of luck, Mary.
Best of luck to you too.
All right, and just to remind you that you are playing for a prize. It's a two-night stay in the Castleknock Hotel as well. And this is all about Miss Moments. So you'll get to pack your bags, one of you ladies, and you'll escape to a four-star hotel, getting away from the husband or the kids or whoever you want to get away from and whoever you want to bring with you. And we'll have balloons and bubbles and cake and all sorts for you. So it is a good prize. And for the lady that doesn't win, you're going to get a Ray Darcy Show mug. So either way, you're winning. Either way, you're winning. Okay. Mary, let's start with you. Here is your first question. On the 2nd of April, 1982, Argentina invaded the British territory of the Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. What is the capital city of Argentina? Is it Buenos Aires or is it Mendoza?
Buenos Aires.
Is the right answer, Mary. Well done. Deirdre, coming to you. On the 2nd of April, 1804, 40 merchantmen are wrecked when a convoy led by HMS Apollo ran aground off Portugal. What is the capital of Portugal? Is it Lisbon or Faro?
Lisbon.
Is the right answer. You're neck and neck, lads. Okay, this is an audio question. Mary, have a listen to this. Oh, it's bringing me right back between Mary Fitzgerald. Between Mary Fitzgerald and that theme tune, I'm going right back. This television show premiered on this day in 1978 on the US network CBS, starring Larry Hagman. Name the show, Mary.
Dallas.
Is the right answer. All right, Deirdre, back to you. Have a listen to this. Yes, in this day, 1961, actor Christopher Maloney was born. He stars in that long-running US crime drama. Can you name the show?
Law and Order.
Is the right answer. Well done. Okay, Mary, back to you. On this day in 1977, actor Michael Fassbender was born. What county in Ireland is he from?
Kerry.
Is the right answer. Well done. Okay, 3 points to you, Mary. Deirdre, on this day in 1998, Christy Moore announced in an open letter to fans that he was taking a year off from live performances. What county is Christy Moore from?
Kildare.
Is the right answer. Lads, yous are on fire today. Mary, coming back to you, our next question is an audio one again. Have a listen to this. One of my favourite songs. On that day, on this day in 1977, that song was part of the album Rumours, which was at number one in the US. Can you name the band? Need an answer, Mary?
No, can't.
No. Okay, it is the brilliant Fleetwood Mac is the name of the band. Hard luck there. Okay, Deirdre, back to you. Here is your audio question. Take a listen to this. Knowing me. All right, on this day in 1977, that song was at number one on the UK single chart. Can you name the band?
Is it ABBA?
It is. Mary, I can hear your rage in there down the phone.
Oh, it's ABBA.
All right, you are still in with this, Mary. If you get this right, you are still in with a chance, okay? So, best of luck. You have to get this one right, though. The first performance of Ludwig van Beethoven's First Symphony in C happened on this day in 1800. What nationality was Beethoven? Was he German or Austrian?
Beethoven, Austrian.
Is the wrong answer, Mary. Oh, I'm sorry. He was German.
Oh, if you're not in, you can't win.
If you're not in, but you know what? You have won. You've won a Ray Darcy Show mug. So you can enjoy it with your lemon cheesecake, nice cup of tea or coffee.
And of course.
Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Life is good.
Well done. Well done to the other lady. Well done.
Thank you very much.
You're a great sport, Mary. Thanks a million, and enjoy the weekend. Happy Easter to you. Deirdre, well done to you. You are
off to the
Castleknock Hotel whenever we can get up and running together. Who do you think you'd like to take with you?
Oh, well, I'd say we'd be taking Ray, and we might squeeze in Samuel if he was able to come. We'll see.
God, you're very good. You're very good.
You can hear him there in the background. Mammy, mammy, you won.
He's delighted. Well, sure, listen, fair play. That's a nice way to start the weekend, to have that to look forward to. Well done.
Oh, you're so good. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Not at all. Happy Easter to you.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, do you know what? I think people are looking forward to a nice weekend all around the country, but it is going to be a great weekend in Sneem in County Kerry as the village continues to vaccinate its most vulnerable. This will mean that all over 70s and immunocompromised locals will have gotten their second dose. Practice manager in the Sneem Healthcare Centre, Julie Lee Knightley, has been instrumental in the massive community effort, and local man Sonny Looney got the vaccine. And Julie and Sonny join me on the line to tell me more. Sonny, I'll start with you. You got your second dose. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling 100% brilliant. I had no reaction whatsoever, only one of joy.
Lovely.
That we got the second jab.
Lovely. A great sense of relief. I was talking to Mary O'Rourke earlier on in the show as well.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. And do you mind me asking what age you are?
I was 79 last November.
Okay. And you're a local to Sneem as well?
I never lived or worked outside of Sneem.
Really?
I worked all my life in your favourite Kerry hotel.
Parknasilla. Oh, sure. It's a little piece of magic down there. You were there for, how long were you there, Sonny?
48 years.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful hotel, beautiful people.
Well, the weather down here today is just unbelievable, and it would be magic if the place was open or all the hotels were open.
So, come here, how did the rollout work for you in terms of the logistics when you got the call, and obviously word spread? This is first time round a couple of weeks ago that Sneem had gotten the amount of vaccines that they did.
That's right. I got a call from, we got a call from Julie to say that we were coming in on the Friday at 3 o'clock, I think. So my wife and I went in and were duly vaccinated. And at that time, we sat in the dispensary, suitably distanced, of course. There were three or four people there for 10 or 15 minutes. And then we were told to go.
Okay.
So it was wonderful.
Brilliant. And in terms of the feeling in the village now, Sonny, and even talking to people, whether it's on the phone, does it feel like a big weight has been lifted?
Exactly. That's exactly how it feels. Mm. And there's an upbeat, and people seem to be smiling, have their heads up, and so on. It's just like a weight has been lifted.
So, come here. What are you most looking forward to?
Well, I would love to, if the 5 kilometre, if that was lifted, I'd love to be able to tour around the country at least. Mm. That's what I would really look forward to. And to visit some of my family, of course.
And I know you're very good friends with your neighbours, and I suppose once your neighbours are vaccinated, then you'll be able to...
They are vaccinated, God bless them.
They're vaccinated as well, great.
They are, yeah, but I think we must wait 10, 12 days before we can actually meet properly.
Okay. God, it must feel, because it's been so long since you've been able to sit in each other's kitchens, and in a couple of weeks to be able to do that and catch up and have a cup of tea.
We used to always call to our nearest neighbour here, Hannah, every Sunday night. And she said there recently, I'm really looking forward to not this Sunday, but next Sunday, when we can sit and have a chat and a cup of tea.
There you go. It's the simple things.
It means that much, yeah.
Yeah, it's the simple things. I'm going to bring Julie in as well. Julie, how are you doing? You've been doing Trojan work. Tell us more.
Good afternoon, Catherine. Yeah, we're going very well. I'm a little bit nervous, sorry.
No, you're okay. So you're a practice manager down there.
Yeah. I actually worked in Parknessilla years ago as well, so.
I don't think there's anyone in Sneem who hasn't worked in Parknessilla.
Yeah, I came for a summer and never went back, so.
Well, what a place to get stuck.
I know. So, yeah, next tomorrow we're doing our immune suppressants, and that's we're going to have everybody done then from age of 94, as well as our medical condition people, so it's great.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just remind people that you got as lucky as you did with the vaccines. I mean, it sort of took everyone by surprise in February,
including me and my boss and the practice nurse Sheena. I got a phone call on Friday, the 19th of February, to say there was vaccinations at the door, and we usually don't get them on a Friday. So Claire, the public health nurse, put them in the fridge for me, and I came back after lunch and I saw a big yellow thing and black writing saying Moderna. So myself and my boss nearly had a stroke when we saw what was in the fridge. But then I made a few phone calls and a few more emails, and it came to light that the Moderna had just come into the country on Thursday evening, and that it was distributed that evening to Limerick, and then we got it on the Friday afternoon.
Amazing,
because we didn't know very much, and luckily enough, in fairness to the HSE, they did look at geographicals, like, you know, Carrow got it, some other, you know, like Castletown Bear got it as well. It's just because we have such a huge geographical area to cover.
Mm.
And that they looked at it and said, right, okay, well, we give them that. So then that made us then look at our vaccination clinics. So we did our over 85s. Oh, that was the most amazing, exhilarating and emotional day ever.
Can I ask you, sorry for interrupting you.
And the whole lot and their hair, you know, whatever. It was lovely. Aww. It was lovely.
And sorry for interrupting you. Yeah. What's it like making the call to tell people that you've got a vaccine for them?
It's the most amazing thing. I think it was like, a lot of people said it was like getting the lotto, but it was more like, you know, when you're a child and you're looking at Willy Wonka and they got a golden ticket.
Mm.
For me, that's what it was, you know, to give these people golden tickets. And they, you know, there's not one bit of, you know, everybody was so happy. They were literally skipping in the door to get the vaccine, because at least then they might have some sort of normality back. You know, a lot of our patients that we've been doing haven't seen Sneem, the village, in nearly a year, you know.
So
only for the odd, you know, visit to the doctor or whatever to get their pension, you know. So,
and it's been a full community effort as well, because I know you're doing the vaccines in the practice and then the observation is happening in Murphy's Bar. Is
across
that,
the road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
And
people are helping with parking and the logistics of it as well, and helping everybody out.
Keeping that going. Actually, Sonny's been very modest. He doesn't say that he puts on his yellow jacket as well, you know, and helps out with the men's shed and they all have their, you know, their parking details and who needs to be done in the car. They know exactly where they are and what time they have to be done at. And then we have two retired nurses, Mady and Mary T. They are in the observation place with Murphy in Murphy's Bar. And then we also have a whole medical team. So we have Dr. Gonzo, Sheena O'Sullivan, our practice nurse, and then we have Dr. Diane Ford and Dr. Paddy Malone, who were retired, and then we also have Dr. Declan McGee, who's a retired anaesthetist. So we're just very lucky.
You know what? It is the epitome of community coming together, and it's lovely that there's great news down in Sneem today. So listen, to Julie, thank you so much for talking
to
me.
And hope to see you soon.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm sure my mom is down that neck of the woods, as you know. So
yeah.
As soon as I can travel, I miss it so much. And as soon as I can get there, I will.
Good.
And listen, big hello to everybody down there. And enjoy the weekend. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
You.
Thanks a million, Sonny.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Catherine.
Bye-bye. All right. Who remembers this? Well, there you go. It brings back memories, doesn't it? And with kids off school and play dates and camps off the cards and all sorts, we decided we would talk to the Queen of Crafts, Mary Fitzgerald, for inspiration on projects that will keep the whole family busy this weekend. Mary, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Catherine. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for asking me on your show.
Well, sure, listen, I was delighted. As I said at the top of the show, you launched my television career with your cardboard TV cutout. That was one of my first crafts that I ever made.
Well, thank you for saying that. I have no idea or no memory of actually making that, but if you said I did, then I must have done so, and I'm delighted that I inspired you to get into television and that you've had such a great career. So well done.
Oh, well, thank you. And I was saying, you know, on my walks around my local area, there seems to be this sort of eruption of crafts and handmade things hanging off trees and doors and beautiful bought bits and pieces as well. But do you think that we've been getting more crafty in the last year now that we've had more time on our hands? And I'm talking about adults as well.
Absolutely. It's both adults and children. They've all gone back to doing old-fashioned things, whether it's knitting, sewing, baking or crafting. And I think particularly this year, because people are stuck at home studying or working, they want to make their home space look a bit more festive and more relaxed, and just to change up the scene. So I think that's part of the reason that there has been a big demand this year for people decorating their homes both inside and out, and they're making everything from Easter wreaths and Easter garlands, Easter bunting, egg decorations, everything really to try and help them lighten the lockdown blues.
Mm. And it is, I mean, it is about celebrating spring, and it's a feeling of hope, isn't it? When you look at all these beautiful pastel colours and bits and pieces.
Yeah, well, I love springtime myself. I mean, I always look forward to this time of the year, and when it comes, it definitely does give you a feeling of hope, and the fact that summer is around the corner, whatever that summer is going to turn out to be, whether it's a rainy one or a sunny one, at least we have better weather and longer days and just more things to do and get out of the house and feel a lot better about yourself.
Mm. Okay, so where are people getting their crafting supplies at the moment? I know a lot of the corner shops are selling bits and pieces and the Euros bars and all that. So there's availability to get stuff, right?
Yeah, there is availability. There's a combination of both of things. Like, people, first of all, have got in the last number of years into recycling and sustainability. So they're keeping their boxes and their egg cartons and their empty washing up liquid bottles and keeping them in a box somewhere with the view to making something out of them. But secondly, you can go to your supermarket. A lot of the supermarkets now have aisles with art and craft material in it. And then there are pound shops or shops known as deals, which sell things for €1, €1.50, and there's lots and lots of stuff available there. So it's not that difficult to get the stuff. But I always say to people that, you know, if I show you how to do something, for example, I'll be telling you in a few minutes how to make an Easter wreath, and you need basically florist wire to keep it together. If you don't have that, maybe use something like twine or wool, or just improvise. Find something, even sticky tape, to stick things together, you know?
Okay, well, let's start with the Easter wreath then, because I think that's the big one that people might be interested in. So how do we start? How do we go about it?
Well, the first thing you do is you basically need a base for the Easter wreaths. Now, you can buy some of the wreath bases in, as I said, pound shops, or sometimes in hardware stores or in gardening centres. But if not, just make one out of twigs, put the twigs together into a round circle, or if not, get a wire hanger and cover it with moss or straw, or even old newspapers, wet the newspapers and scrunch them up and tie them around, and you'll get a round wreath shape. So that's the first thing you do. Then the second thing is, you can either make one using artificial flowers, or you can get fresh greenery and fresh flowers from your garden. Either way, whatever you want to use, bring in a lot of the stuff together and then cut it up into smaller pieces and make small bunches. So it'll be a bit like a little bunch if you were making a little bouquet. You'd see sometimes children when they're presenting bouquets to the Queen, they make small little bunches. Mm. So make a small bunch. So for a wreath, an Easter wreath, you'd need about 10 bunches. And then the next step is then to attach the bunches to the wreath base. So to do that, as I said, if you have florist wire, great. If not, use twine or wool. But literally what you do is you put a piece of twine or wire around the bunch, and then you roll that around the wreath, and you repeat the same thing. Then you get the next bunch, you do the same thing, put it on the bunch and then around the wreath, and you keep the same florist wire or twine. You don't break it up until you have the whole wreath covered with your greenery.
Beautiful. And, then I'm looking at a photograph here, and you've got all your beautiful painted eggs stuck onto it as well. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, well, as I said, to paint the eggs, basically what you do is you have to obviously get rid of the egg yolk and the white in the egg. So the easiest way to do that is to put a skewer in the bottom, like a meat skewer, make a little hole and shake the egg vigorously to get rid of the contents. And then you can use that afterwards for baking a cake or for making scrambled egg. And then you can paint it. And the wreaths that I have made, the one that you probably see there, they're all different colours, like pale greens, blues, yellows, pink. And I just painted those. And then with some of the eggs, I got a brown marker and I put dots on them to make them look like speckled eggs. And then what I did was I painted them afterwards with varnish and let them dry. So they take about a day to do all of that.
And you know what? They look so effective. And I'm going to have to cut you off, Mary, and I'm so sorry. But what we will do, as I said, we are going to have your eggs, your painted eggs, the wreath, the how-to, the cards as well. We'll put them all up on the website that people can have a go this weekend and keep the kids entertained. So thank you so much for being with us. That is all we've got time for today. Have a great Easter and stay tuned. Drive Time with Sarah and Cormac is up next, and I will be back on Tuesday.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.